Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what's the point of galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds. For whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Hey guys, before we start, a quick shout out to Alpha Dog Nutrition for sponsoring this podcast. Alpha Dog products are now available at dusupply.com, and you can use code ALPHADOG15 at checkout for 15% off and a credit for free shipping to try it yourself. Now let's get you to your podcast.
Where's Fielder?
He's gone to the dogs.
Welcome to the Gone to the Dogs podcast. Steve Fielder here with you one more time. And this week I'm coming to you in more or less a sense of bewilderment and awe and sadness and concern and all of the adjectives that you could imagine about the devastation of the last few days here as we record this on the 1st of October. Of course, everyone knows about Hurricane Helene, and you know, we normally think about hurricanes in Florida. We live down here with them, and we expect them, and we prepare for them. But the devastation of this current storm as it moved northward and up into, you know, the mountain regions, as we commonly call Appalachia, and all, it's just beyond belief. And as we're recording this, the situation is ongoing with people that are missing, families that are missing family members, people are without food, water, and all of those things. But this area where some of the worst devastation has been is in an area that contains a lot of hounds people, a lot of bear hunters particularly, and coon hunters, and hunters of all types. And that's just one little segment of society that's been affected, because, in fact, everyone in that area has been affected. But about 3 weeks ago, we had a guest on, and we talked about his book, The Old Men. That is T.L. Jones from Greenville, Tennessee. T.L. is right in the center of all this devastation, and he's graciously agreed to come on with me today to try to get some perspective on this and try to look for answers and just to talk about it, because I've just been so concerned about it. Tracy, it's good to have you back on the podcast. I wish the situation were different, but I do appreciate you so much.
I appreciate you giving me a holler there. Maybe we can highlight what's going on and see what we can do to bring more help to the folks up here.
Well, absolutely, and that's what we want to do, and for sure. Now, you live in Greenville, Tennessee, as I said. You just explain a little bit about the geographical area there where you are, Tracy.
We're in East Tennessee, next to the North Carolina line. We would be, Greene County is attached to Madison County and to Unicoi County.
Okay, and so that in that area, the tributaries that go through there, what? Mainly, is the Nolichucky River one of them?
The Nolichucky River is the primary river that got flooded here in our area. It runs from above Unicoi, Tennessee, out of the North Carolina mountains, and goes all the way to Newport, Tennessee, and dumps into Douglas Lake. It joins a couple other rivers and then goes into Douglas Lake.
I got you. Yep. Well, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Well, Tracy, you know, as I try to wrap my mind around that and to see, you know, I went whitewater rafting on the Nolichucky River many years ago with a group of friends from my church in Michigan. We flew down to Hickory, I believe it was, and then we went up to Blowing Rock, and there was a coon hunter, actually, hunted blue ticks. His name was Dave Johnson, and he had a rafting business out of Blowing Rock, and he took us to the Nolichucky, and also we rode on Wilson Creek, which is on the North Carolina side in what we call these little funyacs, they call them. They were like a inflated kayak. So I've been down in those gorges, and then when I lived in North Carolina, in Ashe County, I trout fished a lot of those streams. And also, I kind of have an idea of the terrain, but it's very rugged terrain, isn't it?
It is. The North Carolina side is, you know, like 100% mountainous nearly, with the only bottoms or hay fields type thing you would find would be, you know, along the creeks lower and along the rivers. On the Tennessee side, mountains skirt the southern part of the county, and then it opens up into more farm type rolling hill country, you know, as the further you go to the west and toward the interstate.
I got you. Now, I don't know. This is the magnitude of this thing. It's just mind blowing. And tell me what things are like around there where you live and what you've seen from a firsthand account.
Okay. Let me back way up on that deal here and use something as a springboard.
Great.
There's some really silly people right now making videos and TikToks and other crazy stuff, literally making fun of Appalachian people as hillbillies and rednecks and calling us stupid, saying, why were you not prepared? Why didn't you leave? What they don't understand is, first of all, you don't expect a biblical proportion flood to hit western North Carolina, Tennessee out of Florida. I mean, this isn't something that happened 10 years ago and you should know better. This is something that's never happened to this extent in recorded history.
Yes.
That's what the authorities are telling us. And, of course, we see it with our own eyes, but it's verified by the measurements and stuff. And there was no way to prepare. I mean, literally, my son-in-law and I went to look to do some tree work for a guy who wanted to get some trees cut down because of the wind. We passed a farm that had some standing water in a pasture. Within a few hours, that standing water put round bales of hay on top of his barn. There's a bridge here that got wiped out. The bottom of the bridge to the surface of the water was 70 feet.
And it wiped that bridge out.
Yes, it wiped the bridge out. It took the pillars of the bridge up from under the bottom. Now, you tell me how you prepare for that.
Well, it is silly, and it's irresponsible for people to make those kind of comments, and I don't know. You know, I saw one of those threads and commented to it. I said, what do you expect these people to do when it's a flash flood type situation? The water's upon them. I mean, what are they supposed to do? Put plywood up on their windows and put sandbags around when the force of the water?
If you live in a state that's basically flat and you're told a flood's coming, it generally comes, normally it would come gradually up.
Yes.
So you, at a certain stage, you would know based on previous experience, okay, we got to go now.
Right.
But with us on Friday night, the river was slightly up. It came up a little bit. And then at midnight, it was doomsday. And our church that's about 500 yards from the dam that they kept telling everybody was possibly going to break, and they evacuated everybody below it. And it was built in 1914. On a normal day at its high mark, it takes 640,000 gallons of water per second. Friday night, it took 1.2 million gallons per second.
Yeah.
That's almost double what the Niagara Falls takes at its height.
Yeah, the magnitude is just mind-blowing. It really is. And, you know, as I said before, you know, we were prepared for that. When you live down here in Peninsular Florida, as I do, and so many of these storms do come up the Gulf of Mexico, and where we are here about halfway down the peninsula on the West Coast, we've been quite fortunate. Usually those storms pass us and they go in up where they call the Big Bend, where Florida, the southern peninsula bends into then the western panhandle. And of course this one came in near Tallahassee. And you know, the airwaves are just full all the time, constantly. Here's the models. Here's where it's tracking. Here's what the winds are. Here's what you can expect as far as storm surge. Yada, 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 you know. But then in the middle of the night, you think, well, we're having some rain spin off of this hurricane. And boom, you just get clobbered.
Yeah. It's literally beyond your ability to imagine it because you don't have a reference point.
Right.
You know, before it happened Friday night, people were saying, well, we had a flood in 1977 and we remember that and so forth. But bridge after bridge after bridge went out and landlocked us on the south side of the county. Literally, you could not go from the south side of the county to the north side across the Nolichucky River from Newport to Irwin. And you couldn't go into North Carolina because every single passageway out was hammered and blocked.
So you're,
I mean, you're talking about entire communities over North Carolina, like Marshall, North Carolina, Chimney Rock, North Carolina. I've been told that Chimney Rock don't even exist now. That it's gone. And when they gave the water measurements in rainfall, at the headwaters of the Nolichucky, the Tennessee side took in over 20 inches and the North Carolina side took in over 30 inches within probably 6 hours, most of that coming, that was over like a 24-hour period, but it all like accumulated within a few hours. Wow. Down to the, you know, from the tops of the mountains, and slow moving water is one thing, but when you run it downhill out of these mountains, you know, like Viking Mountain here is just short of 5,000 feet, and when you run that water off of the face of the mountain and it all congregates in the river and gets pushed downhill, man, I mean, that sucker is a rolling.
Yeah, you know, I see the clips of, you know, mobile homes floating down the river, vehicles floating down the river. Yeah, the devastation's incredible. And you know, not to discount at all what happened down here. The devastation from that storm up along the Florida coast is just amazing. You know, there's a little place that Ella and I like to go to down below the St. Pete beaches. It's called John's Pass, Treasure Island, that area. Mm-hmm. And that whole area was just clobbered. I mean, boats are sitting up in the streets, up on the boardwalks, and it's the devastation of that storm, the magnitude of it shows the fury of nature at, you know, when it's just unleashed. Yep. And all the conditions get right. And of course it picks up this warm water out of the Gulf and that feeds the thing. But that storm was 300 miles wide. You know,
I certainly would never want to downplay any place from Florida all the way up into the Appalachians that got on the brunt of this whatsoever. And
right.
Lots of people are asking, what can I do to help? And my suggestion is help. If you're next to what happened and you can physically help, help the people closest to you.
Right.
If you don't have anybody close to you, help the person you know best that's associated with it. Do that.
You know, Tracy, I think you're on to something there. You know, help our neighbors.
Yep.
When we see the need, that's the way our Lord was. You know, he ministered to the need when he saw it.
Yeah.
You know, when they were hungry, he provided a meal out of, what was it, 3 loaves and 7 fishes, or I don't remember exactly what. But anyway, the point being, you know, grow where you planted. You know, I'm not a preacher, and I don't pretend to be, and I'm getting off in deep weeds here, but you are certainly the man that knows those things. But yeah, you know, I think we are all probably sitting home saying, what can I do to help these people? You know, some of these accounts are just heart-rending. There's a coon hunter over in North Carolina, Michael Simpson, that's been doing some rescue work and so forth. And he had posted how there, he's over around Hendersonville, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And he's posted about going in, hiking down 9-point-something miles down into that Green Cove area there. And I've trout fished that. And how he used the inReach capability, the satellite texting capability in his Garmin 200 or 300, you know, to communicate out of there. He said it took him, you know, it was 9-point-something miles down in there, and he took him five-minute helicopter ride back out of there because I guess they airlifted him out. But he said, you know, don't turn on your radio because you won't be able to stand the people calling in crying for help, people crying for their lost loved ones. You know, this brings up, there's one situation that I've been following real closely is about somebody that you mentioned to me back before we were going to the zone hunt at Rogersville. My buddy Mark Miller and I, you mentioned a guy named Boone McCrary.
Yep.
And you know that story better than I do, but what happened there, Tracy?
Okay. On Friday, you know, we were getting rain and some things were happening upriver from us in Irwin that was just really shocking. And Boone came to my house to pick up one of those Trump hats that I was selling. You saw those on Facebook, probably.
I think you've sold all those, haven't you?
I did, yeah. Boone came to the house.
You snooze, you lose.
Boone came to the house to pick up one of those hats, and I've known Boone since he was a young teenager. He's a coon hunter, and he has bear hunted quite a bit, too, and duck hunted. Pretty much if you do it outdoors, Boone does it. And about probably 4 or 5 years ago, he went to school to become a nurse, and so he's worked in the hospitals a lot. Well, we were standing there talking at the house. It had just come across the news that there was 53 employees of the hospital in Irwin standing on the roof. Yeah. And the water was up to the highest windows. And they tried to get a boat across to them, couldn't make it. Tried to get, I think, the local helicopter, couldn't make it. And eventually they got military-style Black Hawks to come in from Virginia and rescued them. But at the time, we didn't know they would even get rescued. And Boone was bothered by that because as a nurse, he thought he should have been called into work already to help take patients that they were sending out of the current flood zones.
I see.
And he said to me 2 or 3 times standing there talking, he kept saying, I thought they would call me in, man. Maybe they'll call me in later. And he was just really bothered by the fact that he wasn't in the game, so to speak, right, that he was off work. He wanted to be at the hospital taking care of the people being brought in. So yeah. Boone left, and about an hour after that, he had put on Facebook that he had his boat hooked up and was ready to help anybody that needed to be picked up by boat. And some people were sharing on Facebook that they had relatives stranded in different places, and I'm sure it's clear to some of the people there, it's a little sketchy to me exactly what happened, but not too long after he left the house, he put his boat in some floodwaters about 2 miles from my house above a bridge. The bridge was already getting water over the top of it, and he went to try to rescue a guy off of his roof across the river. It was a jet motor boat, and I think, not 100% sure, I've been told this, I can't verify it, but I was told that the engine sucked in junk and shut the motor down. Now, don't hold me that, but
I understand, but I can see how that would happen, just like that.
Yeah.
Would they used to preach to us all the time in the Air Force about FOD, foreign object debris, in those jet engines, you know, yeah.
One of my best friends was standing there at the bridge when Boone's boat come down the river, basically out of Boone's control.
Mm.
And he had his girlfriend and his dog in the boat with him. And the boat hit the bridge a couple times, bounced back, and then like the third time it slammed the bridge, it capsized, and Boone and the dog and the girlfriend all went under the bridge. And the water was up to the, I don't know how they made it even up under that bridge, but when they come out the other side, my friend who was standing right there watching it said they never resurfaced. They stood there for a long time and never come back up. Well, a few hours later, they found that girl in some trees. She was alive. They found her in the trees, but she had been able to get her arm through a life jacket, from what I understand, and that probably saved her. Yesterday, they found the boat and the dog pretty close together, you know, of course, destroyed. And we're told that a farmer on down the river heard Boone yelling, and some people saw him on a log. But he could not have been maybe a quarter of a mile above the dam, when maybe a half a mile above the dam. I'm not sure, I can't know the exact measurements, but it wouldn't have been far above the dam where he was last heard.
And is this the dam on the Nolichucky that they've been talking about so much? I saw, I think it was today, that they're saying that that dam is actually still intact, or it was what I saw, but the water, of course, is pouring over it.
Yeah. Boone's mama called me this morning, and we talked for quite a while. She's obviously very distraught. If the people who hear this podcast, you know, if they're praying people, her name's Debbie Fisher, and she certainly could use your prayer. She told me, she said, I know it's been 4 days. She said, but I can't, like, not believe he's alive. And I said, no way. You're his mom. And of all the people on the earth, you have to still believe he's alive. Your mama does not give up on you. I don't care what you do. Your mama don't quit on you.
No, that's right.
And so I just encouraged her. And they've got search parties out today. In fact, while we were talking, the rescue squad just went by on a buggy. They've moved their search now down below the dam, expanded it.
What the question comes to mind to me, are there still people in homes back in the mountains that don't have communication, that have not been heard from or accounted for, or maybe they're just stranded with no way out?
Absolutely. The last count I saw, and I'm sure it's changed by now with people checking in, and Elon Musk sent some, I don't know technology very well, but Elon Musk just sent, at Trump's request, more Starlink connects over this area.
Good.
So you literally can turn your cell phone into a sat phone right now. So if they're stranded and haven't been able to call out, they're probably going to be able to. The last I heard, there were 600 people still missing in Buncombe County around Asheville alone.
Well, you know, what I think about is that Starlink did. I mean, it will just automatically make the phones work. I mean, do that? They don't have to have a special app or whatever. I'm showing my technical ignorance here.
I don't know. I just saw that this morning.
Yeah.
I don't know the technical part. But there's amazing, like, I know one guy that hiked 11 miles across the mountains to get to his parents in the mountains. I knew of that guy. I know that another guy has brought in a mule team, a pack team, and they're going to be going into places that you can't get to by vehicle. And Steve, this is going to be going on to get to these people that are alive but are stranded. It's just untelling how long it's going to be. Months.
Well, it comes to mind to me about knowing where they are. I mean, can they use, like, is the census information or whatever have, is there information out there where some of these homes are, you know? up on top of my, you know, I lived in Western North Carolina in Ashe County. And of course, anything in that general area got hit. But, you know, back on top of those, some of those driveways just to go to a house, you almost need a billy goat to get up to them, you know. And just to me, it would be mind-boggling just to know where these people are to rescue them in, you know, helicopters, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, and I'm not interested in the blame game. I'm not interested in talking about politics or nothing of that. But the one thing I will say that we know as Appalachian people is that when you live where we live, you're not on anybody's priority list.
Hmm.
Yeah. And so yesterday I got so angry. The state organization that's over hazard stuff, I don't even know their name. You can see it on my Facebook page. Literally put out the word, if you are coming to East Tennessee with supplies, to not come here, that you are not authorized. I went absolutely insane.
Authorized.
I got a hold of my state reps. I told them it was the dumbest thing I ever heard. And I got a hold of the sheriff and the mayor and even a state rep that came up bear hunting with me down from Memphis. I got a hold of him. And how stupid do you have to be to try to tell people you got to be authorized to help somebody who needs help?
Bureaucracy. Protecting somebody's job.
Insane. If I was the governor, I would find out who the people were that posted that, and they would never work for the state of Tennessee again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I don't know. You know, it's easy to have ideas, but it's a whole different ballgame to put legs on them and make them work. And, you know, as I text you the other day, I was just thinking so much about this. I'd like to, you know, at first I thought reach out to the houndsman, you know, but hey, the need is, like you say, it's next door. It's your neighbor. It's, you know, somebody that you might have bumped into at the grocery store. You know, everybody's in need. And what? My heart really goes out to those hound people in the mountains, you know, and are they able to take care of their dogs? And of course, we all love our dogs and we're concerned about them. But never, ever should we ever put the lives of those animals above human life, you know.
No, the gravity of all the things that's happening ranges from everything from getting water to people that are safe but will have no water. Like, we just sent a load of water to the assisted living place in Greenville where the elderly people were.
Mm-hmm.
The people who run the facility could not legally distribute it, but they allowed our church, a guy helping our church, to tell one of the residents that it was outside, and they just flooded out of there and came and emptied us.
Mm.
They said nobody had been to help them. Another woman just came from another elderly assisted place and said nobody has been there. And she said the elderly people in her apartment places don't even know what's happened because they don't have
TV.
They don't know nothing about social media.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She asked one of her neighbors, do you have water? She said, well, what do I need water for? And had to explain to her that the water was now turned off. So I told her tomorrow when we get the next load of water in, we'll take a load to all those elderly people there. Now, just a few minutes ago, a tame hog, about 200-pound hog, walked up here in the churchyard, free-ranging. And Ben came over with his bulldog and caught it and took it back to the owner. The law came and found out who the owner was, and Ben and another guy hog-tied it and took it back down to that guy's farm. Well, he's washed away, and his hogs are running everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, media talks about, you know, this is a 100-year event, and this is, and I heard someone say the other day, this is like a 500-year event for that. Do you have any concept of that at all or comment?
Yes, I do. Based on what the local authorities have told us here, the biggest flood that they know for sure ever went in this area was like 130 years ago. And this one, I guess, has eclipsed it. There's literally nothing on record anywhere through the Appalachians that is similar to this. Never in recorded history do they know anything like this. I'm probably 300 to 500 yards from the dam sitting right now in our church building. That's how close we were. Mm. And I'm in the parking lot at the church. If you could go down the dam and you looked on the dam side, you wouldn't, if you hadn't really just looked at it, you wouldn't know much had happened. But when you look downriver, where it was just normal river banks that you could walk around and coon hunt on and slope down to the river, some of them, and some of them just, they were steep, but you know, they were wooded.
Yeah.
Well, it's not wooded now. The woods are gone, and it's rock cliffs.
Took it right down to the rock bed.
Took it down to the rock bed. I've got a friend that has a farm been on the river, probably 9 or 10 miles from here by river, and I haven't gone to see it yet because we're just covered up with stuff to do. But they said he had 175 acres of bottom land that sucked right down to the bedrock.
Well, you know, the residuals of all of this are going to be well, I don't know if anything can be as devastating as the initial flood, but it's far reaching. I mean, you're washing all your topsoil away. You can't grow taters on hard rock, you know.
That family has farmed that thing way before I was ever born. It's like a 3-generation farm. It was a dairy farm, and now how are they going to farm?
Yeah.
I mean, it's down to the bedrock from what I'm told, and it's just not him. I mean, and if you drive through the county, most people's homes are not gone. It just depends on how close to the river you were and were you around any place where water backed up.
Right. That's the same thing down here, you know. Like I say, I'm a mile and a half from the water right here, high and dry, you know. But if you go right down the coast, you know, it's washed away. So I get that for sure.
Yeah. Of course, Boone's the most important thing happening right now because he's the, to my knowledge, he's the only person in our community that's missing. They have infinitely more trouble on the opposite side. I'm 8 miles from the line, and on the opposite side of the line, and you know this living in West Virginia, those real small, tight hollers where people build houses right along streams.
Yes.
Those people, man, your house is there 1 minute, and the next minute it's at the end of the holler.
Exactly.
So if you... We've got supplies coming in from all over the country. You know, Houndsman XP put up an Amazon page that people can use.
Okay, do you have the address or how that's set up? I haven't talked to Chris Powell, and one of the things I was going to ask you is, do you want to give an address for PayPal or Venmo or whatever that people could send contributions or donations to your church that you could use in your outreach?
I can do that, but we don't have any way to take electronic finances on a small scale. But I'll give you the address, you know, before we stop, or I can text it to you or whatever our church.
Okay, and we'll put it in the show notes here. And listeners, after you've listened to this podcast, please scroll down there to the notes part on your platform, whether it's Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever, and get that address if you're moved as I am to want to do something, you know. I mean,
The way the Amazon page came about was we were landlocked, and Chris suggested the Amazon thing sent to an address on this side of the river because I couldn't get it. I was stranded myself. But they got the bridge open now, so I'm at the church every day, and There, if you go on this Amazon link, which I will send to you, and you click the link, there's a list of things that are the kinds of things you give to people in disasters.
Right. Yes.
You just buy the item. Amazon brings it to the church door. I stage it here, and we're doing two things. Food items and water. You can either come here and get it, or you can call, and we bring it to you. If you can't get out, we have it delivered. And that's awesome. We've had people coming here all morning, picking up water and taking it to people other places. And all you have to do is call. We bring it right to your doorstep. Elderly people can't get out, and some of them are afraid to get out. There's people afraid to go across the bridge still.
Oh, sure. I'm sure. Well, you know, I have done some work through my church with Samaritan's Purse, which is Franklin Graham's organization, and they do such a tremendous job. You know, when you go in a person's home, it's their home. You know, look, I'm looking around here where I live, and look at your home, and when you see the water lines halfway up an 8-foot wall, and the flooring that you bought and put down, and the sweat and blood and all of that, you know, is all warped and laying there. You know, to be able to take a crew and go in there and cut out that drywall and take up that flooring and do all, you know, there's so much that we can do. And if we look at the whole, like you said, if you look at the whole picture overall, it's overwhelming. You know, there's no way.
The one great thing about this Appalachian country is if you help here, you won't be helping people who won't help themselves, because the people here, man, are scratching and clawing.
Yeah.
To help each other and to help their families and to help their neighbors.
Right.
Now, financial donations, before anybody sends a financial donation, I want you to know up front what's being done with that. We're having people send money to us. And, of course, our church took up money. We get everything that come in our offering Sunday morning, we give it to this flood thing.
Okay.
And we didn't keep none of that for the church outside of, there was some designated funds that we couldn't put into it, but we give the whole offering to this. Another church sent money. And my business guy and I yesterday, what we did, we went door to door to door writing people checks. We just walked up in the yard. I said, I pastor the road across the street. I know you're going to need cash. And we wrote every one of them a check. I said, all I need is your name. Just tell me your name.
They gave me their name. Applause.
They gave me their name. And, of course, I haven't put this on Facebook, and I don't want to embarrass people, but we gave everybody across the road from our church that lost their house, we gave them $250 yesterday, every house.
And you know that they can use it for sure.
Oh, my goodness. They need cash in their pockets, because, you know, my church could go over there with some snacks or some coffee, but what they might need is a rake or a hoe or some piping or plumbing or something. And
sure.
And as more money comes in, that's exactly what I'm going to do with it. My business manager is, we're supposed to leave at 1 o'clock today. We're going to some other areas, and we're going to go to the door and write people checks.
Well, God bless you, and that's, you know, putting legs on your what's the word I want to use?
But there won't be nothing that is sent to Appalachian Baptist Church will be left sitting here. It will go out of here. Every dime, every gift will go out of here to somebody.
Well, we'll need that address, Tracy, well, so that we can do that. And definitely going to encourage the listeners to do that, and I personally want to do that. And back talking about Boone, you know, the way his name came up and was familiar to me was that when Mark and I were thinking about Fever, you know, hunting in the zone, hunting Rogersville. And you mentioned the fact that Boone would be a good guy to guide, you know, for us because he knew where the coons were and he was a good hunter. And it does, he's one of our own, so that makes it a little closer to home for my listeners, you know, knowing that he is a houndsman. And we're going to say is because we're going to trust the good Lord that he's still alive you know, he may be in a situation. And you mentioned on Facebook, and I just saw that recently or today, and thought it was a great idea, is for people along that river to go check the banks and all, because someone could be trapped, you know, and not able to get out.
Yeah. If you or your neighbor has land on the river, go two or three times a day and look. Just keep going as the water recedes. Keep going as far as you can go safely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, my wife likes this movie, Last of the Mohegans. I don't know if you've seen it, but some of the scenery in it is absolutely phenomenal. And you have these scenes of people being washed over waterfalls and down through the swift water, you know, and survive. Of course, it's Hollywood, you know. This is real, the real thing. And, well, it's just incredible, Tracy, and I want to keep an awareness with the listeners of the Gone to the Dogs podcast and those that visit my Facebook page. You know, if you're in the hound community, you have to know that, you know, there's a lot of guys that love the cry of the hounds that today are in a very, very difficult position.
I will mention some people that anybody that knows Roy Clark and R.L. Leatherwood and those guys down there around Hartford.
Yes.
Hartford got absolutely hammered. I think all of them are physically safe, but if you guys know them, try to get a hold of Roy and R.L. and Sonny down there and see if they need anything.
I wonder about, you know, Ira Jones. Is Ira?
Call Ira and see what's going on in his community. Aaron Dale, you know, I preached last Monday night in Morganton, North Carolina, and came home through the mountains and stopped there at the mine where Aaron Dale works and visited the grave of one of my ancestors. Yes. That mine, Steve, is the only place in the world you get the material that goes into cell phones.
Wow.
And the roads are destroyed. It is the only place it comes from. There's no other source for that in the world.
That's silica, I bet.
And that's, I mean, how's Aaron Dale? And so what I'm saying is, if you know a houndsman anywhere from Waynesville, Cherokee, North Carolina, to Boone, North Carolina, or from Newport, Tennessee, to Irwin, Tennessee, if you know any of those people, try to get a hold of them and see if they know anything. Joy Dog Food is sending in 2 pallets of feed this week, and I want to get that to Houndsman.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And so if anybody hears this knows a Houndsman, put it on Facebook anywhere. If I can get to them, it don't matter where they're at. If I can get to them, we'll take it to them.
Well, there you go, folks. And I wish that we had a real-time ability on this podcast that we could put this out right now as we're talking. Unfortunately, it will be the Monday following, which would be, I don't know what day that. Today's the 1st. So today, what is this, Tuesday?
Today is Tuesday.
Yeah. But at any rate, all you can do...
Maybe after we get off here, you could use your Facebook Live to share some of the things we talked about and get it out.
I definitely will. And, you know, Facebook caps you at 5,000 members, and I've had that number for quite a long time. So, you know, I'll get it out on my Facebook. Anybody else that's listening will do the same. And, of course, we're talking in, you know, a week later, but that will have been done, and hopefully that will have helped. There was something I was going to discuss with you, Tracy, and I guess it slipped my mind. That happens to me more often every day, it seems. But what – is there anything to be – you know – there's a silver lining in every cloud, we're told. What can be the good that can come out of this?
Well, that's a tremendous question, and it's such a touchy time to bring that up because people are hurting so badly.
Yes.
But if I had just one message that I could share with everybody who hears this podcast, it would be this. Whether it's a flood, a car wreck, a heart attack, or just old age, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And yes. This flood reminded me, again, just how quickly life can be over for you. I mean, one minute it's raining, the next minute, you know, you're sucked under a bridge, or a car wreck, a heart attack, anything.
And yes.
The Bible says the gospel is the power of God and the salvation. And the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the scripture says, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Yes.
And we're all born sinners. The scripture says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you, at some point in your life, you've got to recognize that you're a sinner, you have a sin nature, that God is offended by that sin. And then if you don't get saved, the scripture says that whosoever's name is not written in the book of, Lamb's book of life, will be cast in the lake of fire. You've got to be saved. You've got to be born again.
Yes.
And so at some point in life, you've got to recognize, I'm a sinner. But the good news is Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He died on Calvary. He was buried. And then he rose again the third day. And the scripture says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, Steve, my encouragement is this. If you're sitting out there somewhere, even if you're not impacted by this flood, you need, before you draw your last breath, to put all of your hope and trust in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins. That's my message.
And I agree. He is our only hope, Tracy. And I'm glad that you took your liberty to say that for sure. Listen up, folks. It's true. It's truth. Well, we certainly want to send our heartfelt sympathies to those who have lost loved ones, and we continue to pray and in faith that those that are unaccounted for will be found and will be well. And we, you know, pray that the efforts will be enough, that enough of us will be inspired to get involved. As Tracy says, if you see the need, reach out to that need. But, you know, we could have had a happier subject, I guess, to talk about. We were, as this is airing, as we're recording, we're airing a great interview with Casey Maggard, who just won the UKC World Coonhound Championship, a real fine young man that I very much enjoyed speaking with. And so, but right now, our hearts and our thoughts and our prayers go out to the people of Appalachia, especially those in western North Carolina and east Tennessee, where this devastation has really just gone over and above anything we've seen in our lives. And I do want to thank my good friend T.L. Jones. Now, when T.L. or Tracy, as I call you, when you wrote your book, The Old Men, that's what drew me to contact you the first time. It's a great book. I wish it could be in the hands of everyone out there today that's going through the difficulties, because there's a lot of meat in that book. And I urge you to go on to Amazon. It's called The Old Men by T.L. Jones. And Tracy, if you have other outlets you want to mention where people can get your book, I welcome you to do that.
Well, I really appreciate you bringing up the book, and I'd love to come back on another time and talk about more of the things in it. But right now, I highly recommend everybody who wants to help to do it First of all, with the most local person that you can find, next with the person that you know that you trust the most, and then to the larger organizations if you can't do specifically local, just because local is better, always better.
Always better. Buy local. Yeah. Buy local if you can. Support your local businesses. And that concept follows right over to what we're talking about now.
Yeah.
But we all can do something. You know, there may not be that widow across the street that you can go and take food to her or help her with the necessities of life. There's just, it's endless. The opportunities are endless. And
I'll tell you something important, and then I'll let you go. But especially for women, and I've never found men to be the best listeners. So that's why I mentioned women. Some people just want somebody to talk to.
Mm.
And if your church women will just pull up in somebody's yard and say, "How's it going today? Can I help you while we talk?" Man, people just want somebody to talk to, older people especially,
Especially. And again, you know, listeners, imagine if you're stranded in your family and you have no way of knowing if anybody knows that you're alive or dead. You know.
Well, we live in a world with 7 billion people, and people are lonely. Nobody should be lonely in a world with 7 billion people.
That's true. Very true. Very true. Well, Tracy, I appreciate you coming on with me today. We've been here almost an hour now. I don't think we can say anything more. You know, the need is there. The need is tremendous. But the need can be met if each of us will do something. You know, we can't do everything, but we can do something. So I want to thank once again Tracy, or T.L. Jones, a published author and bear hunter, pastor, and good friend of mine. I appreciate you coming on, Tracy.
Thanks, Steve.
Hopefully we can talk again soon, and it'll be about something better. More enjoyable, I guess. Okay, thank you, Tracy.
Bro. Okay, catch you later.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, friends, I appreciate so much you bearing with me this episode. I know it's probably not the feel-good episode or entertaining maybe that you would like or are used to from this podcast. But there is a great need, and we need to do what we can. And as I can get information, I'll post it on the Stephen F. Fielder website, page on Facebook. And there's also the Coon Hunting Conversations group, which is almost 12,000 strong now, on Facebook. And I'll try to pass along as much information as I can. If you know of a coon hunter, a bear hunter, a houndsman that is missing or is in special need of help or assistance, get a hold of me, message me, and we'll get that information out and see what we can do to help. Okay, that's going to be it for this episode of the Gone to the Dogs podcast. I want to wish you and yours a very good week, and going forward that we can see that many of these lives that are missing have been found and people have been rescued. And I'm just at a loss of words, folks, because the need is so great. But any help that you can give will be greatly appreciated. Until next time, again, Steve Fielder, Gone to the Dogs.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.